All right, you're recording.
Okay, thank you. We are back in open session and we are on section number 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. We are now on item number 2, 2372, the informal in regards to Simon Escalada, DVM. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Escalada in case number 2372. This matter will be heard pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Escalada, please introduce yourself.
I'm Simon Escalada.
Thank you. Do you have an attorney present?
No, I don't.
Okay. Dr. Escalada, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, these options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
No, I don't.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me.
Okay.
Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Sure, this is case 2372. On November 30th, 2022, Gwendy, a 10-month-old female dachshund mix, was presented to the respondent for a spay procedure. The dog arrested during the procedure, resuscitation efforts were successful, and the dog was discharged later that day. The respondent did not disclose the emergency event to the complainant. On December 6, 2022, the dog was presented to the respondent for diarrhea and coprophagia. Over the next few days, diagnostics were performed and medications were dispensed for the dog's chronic diarrhea. Additionally, the dog's skin began sloughing from her back, which was suspected to be a thermal burn from resuscitation efforts. On December 19th, 2022, the dog was hospitalized for treatment at no charge. The dog continued to do poorly and lose weight. The enteropathogen panel revealed that the dog was positive for Giardia and Cryptosporidium, and treatment was started. The complainant agreed to have the dog sent to a specialty clinic in Mexico. The dog was picked up by a veterinarian from Mexico on February 2nd. The dog passed away on February 4th, according to the respondent. Intestinal tissue was sent for histopath, and it was found to have sepsis due to extensive ulceration, and dilation of the colon was also a consideration.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Escalada, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Dr. Escalada, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Well, this is a very unusual case. The dog, I don't know where he picked up the diarrhea. I mean, he developed a colitis. Even the first couple of days that he came in, we noticed when we were starting to treat his back and all that, we noticed that he would just eat his stool as it was coming out. It was really gross. I mean, he would, as he was attempting to defecate, he would be eating the stool. We went ahead and gave him the routine treatments for colitis, which he did have. We started off with metronidazole. It didn't work. We tried sulfasalazine. We tried fenbendazole. We also tried latest that I've read on colitises. We tried him on high fiber diets. We also gave him this Bione, which is a 112.5 billion high potency probiotic. And everything that we tried on this dog, we didn't, it just wouldn't help him. I don't know what it was, but he was just constantly eating a stool. I went ahead and we ran tests to Texas A&M, which we got the diagnosis of, the cryptosporidium and also giardia. He went on the treatment of azithromycin along with Tylosin, which is indicated in that. It made no difference. It made no difference at all. This puppy would eat all the time. I know his blood tests were up high. He never stopped eating, but the bleeding and everything just would not stop. We put muzzles on him, and the muzzles were porous during the day. Of course, I didn't leave him at night, but we tried everything that we could to try to get this dog. And I noticed myself, I knew he was getting worse because he was getting anemic and he was running, but there was just no way. I didn't know any other thing to do to stop the colitis. And as you notice on the histopathology, he did have a severe colitis. In hindsight, I wish I would have tried. Only other thing I would have tried would have been, but of course it was too late, was the probably put him on some steroid. That's the only thing it is. But I did everything that I could to try to treat this colitis clinically. That's all I don't know anything else that I could have done. The individual that was the owner was very abrasive, very yelling, a very difficult person to present. It was very difficult to talk to him, to the point that the father called me and he agreed that he wanted to put the animal to sleep. And I said, no, let's give it a try. And he said that if he wanted me to write a letter in favor that I had done everything, I said, yes, I would appreciate it. But the son never gave me the ability or would hang up to me. Even when he picked up the ashes, we cremated the dog and put him in an urn. When he picked up the urn, I asked him for the letter, and he never did return it because I thought that would help my case.
Okay, thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Escalada.
I know my record keeping sucks, okay? But since Victoria came down, it's changed, and we're doing everything we can, and I think we're doing a fairly good job. Okay. The other thing that's hopeful for me is that I am getting finally, rural communities are having a hell of a time getting veterinarians coming in, but I do have one coming in, which I think is going to help. It's going to be very helpful to me because we're just loaded with horses that we can't even, Santa Cruz County does not even have a large animal vet right now. They have to bring it to me, and I don't go out on calls anymore, but we're really short. The rural communities are really suffering, and thank God, I think I'm getting a veterinarian coming in.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the board members have questions for Dr. Escalada?
Yeah, this is Dr. James, and I have a couple questions. I understand that you tried quite a few different treatments for the colitis, but specific to the eating of the stool, did you try anything there?
Other than giving her the fiber and stuff like that, for the colitis or the coprophagia? What are you talking about?
The coprophagia.
I had to put a muzzle on him. I mean, I'm telling you that this dog, and where he got this, I do not know, okay? But we noticed it when we started treating, when they were bringing him in for treatment, we noticed that as he was defecating, he would just eat the stool, eat the stool, eat the stool, as it was coming out. That's why I decided to get a porous. When he was in here in the clinic, I would put a muzzle that was porous so he would stop from eating it. But this puppy never stopped eating.
Did you try any of the products that are made like Forbid or any of the other products that you put in the food to make the stool taste worse than I think it might already taste? I don't know. But like, it's supposed to affect the taste. Did you try anything like that?
No, we didn't. I think my technician, I mean, we were so frustrated. I think my technician did try something like that. But I mean, this guy, it was like an obsession. As he was defecating, he would be right on his butt eating the stool. Because that's, and I don't think anything would have worked. I don't know what it was, but it was just a very difficult case to treat. I hope none of you ever, never get a case like this. Okay. And he was a good dog, never stopped eating. And he was losing weight. I give him hamburger. I tried to give him some intestinal diets. He wouldn't take them, but we used to give him hamburger, chicken, and he would gobble it up. And as he was getting skinnier and skinnier, I knew the colitis was affecting him. I knew he was getting anemic. I could see that from the reports. But I mean, it's just a very frustrating case. But I did all. I checked him for pancreatic insufficiency. Could that be it? No, it wasn't. I went to the Texas A&M, to a really good GI lab that we send our stuff to, and that's when we came up with cryptosporidium and Giardia, and those had been treated, and nothing affected the stuff. Nothing.
Okay. Going back to the original spay procedure, when you had the complications during the spay, was that communicated to the owner?
At the time, it wasn't. It was a busy day. I figured that he was alive. I was happy that he was alive. It gets busy. I'm a sole practitioner. They just discharged the dog, and I thought it was going to be fine. But I just never mentioned it to him. No, I didn't. It was my fault, but you get busy in a single practice. I was probably doing something else when the puppy was discharged.
Okay, and then when the dog came back and had the diarrhea and the ulceration of the skin, did you talk to the owner then about why the skin might be ulcerated?
We thought at the beginning it was I thought it was, it started in one spot, and I thought it was a bite like a recluse or something. And then as we started going, I finally noticed and no, I think I didn't mention to it, and it's my fault, I didn't mention it to him. But he was a very abrasive individual.
Okay.
It's my fault. I admit that I didn't, my communication skills with him, but it was very difficult to talk to him. Like I said, I mean, when his father agreed with him, and I said, please give me that letter, if the kid refused, I would call his father for the letter, and he would hang up.
Okay. So when you started seeing like the white blood cells going up, the red blood cells going down, you could tell things weren't going well, and you admit this on your own, that things were declining despite all of the efforts that you were trying, did you recommend a referral to a specialty practice?
I did mention that later on. I don't think these people had the ability to or the money to go to a referral practice. No. I only mentioned it at the last.
Okay.
And they said that they wouldn't have, people down here do not have the money for a referral.
Okay. And did you discuss with them other treatment options, like say ultrasound, not treatment, but diagnostic, so ultrasound and potentially intestinal biopsy or anything like that?
I mentioned that to him. I did mention it to him when they wanted to put it to sleep, that I wanted to send it to a specialty clinic where they could do some other work, and they refused. They said they wanted just to put the dog to sleep. I did mention it to him.
Okay.
And do you feel like the cause of this dog's weight loss and stuff was strictly related to the colitis?
There's no other thing. I mean, the dog was eating. The dog was eating hamburger. The dog was eating chicken. That's what he would really would like, would eat it with gusto. And I think the fact that the anemia was coming from the chronic colitis that he had, and his protein was going down too. That's why I decided to check him for malabsorption. And that came back all right too, because I sent that off to Ida.
Okay, yeah, I see those tests. I see on, I think it was December 7th that was the first blood panel, and then I see maybe a repeat on the 12th. Was there any additional blood work? Because between those two, we have significant changes, and we can tell things aren't going in the right direction, but I don't see any blood work repeated after December 12th until he went to the specialty place in February.
Yeah, no, I guess that's all we're doing, because I'm telling you, the puppy would look great. I mean, never was he depressed, never was he having any problems. I mean, he was active. I mean, he was a loving little dog. I really wanted to do everything I could for him, because I'd come in during Christmas. I was coming in to check him and stuff like that. Everybody was working on him. Twice a day we'd come in and feed him. You know, he was just he was a very good dog, and I hated to lose him.
Okay. Yeah, that was evident that you guys put quite a bit of energy and time into this guy. So I don't have any other specific questions. Does anyone else?
I do not.
No? All right. I don't think we have any additional questions, so thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now we're going to move on to the complainant, so we'll just have you be quiet in the background for now. Okay, Dr. Escalada?
Okay. What do I do?
Just hang tight. Stay on the phone. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Okay. We will now hear from the complainant. And so, Victor Valdez, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Victor, I would now like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. We have read the materials that you've provided, and now is your time, now is your time to address the board. So anything
yes,
you would
I
like
am
to
Victor
share?
Valdez.
Okay, thank you. Anything you'd like to share?
No.
Okay. You don't have anything to share?
Well, the thing that I would like to say is, yes, Escalade did try everything he could, but the fact of the matter is, ever since they found out about the stool problem, ever since I took her in, she had the stool problem on December 6th, I think, somewhere like that. If a dog's been doing diarrhea or for more than a week or 2 weeks, a stool sample should be sent immediately, and he never did that. It took him over a month to finally send a stool sample. Just letting you know on that. And another thing is, he told me that some bird out of my dog's wound or the injury in the back of her back, and when it was opening and it was all, they told me it was some bird that attacked my dog. My dog was always here with me. And yeah, they would come up with some lies or some excuses to get away with her problem, because then they find out that she had a parasitic infection in the back, all due to the malpractice from the spaying operation. So yes, they would come up with some excuses and lies, and in actuality, I wasn't the one being abrasive or the one with the lack of communication. He's just saying this to get away with some excuses. He's the one that's been with lack of communication. He never would give me good paperwork, any paperwork whatsoever, especially when I agreed to him that yes, for international help or whatever. I would say yes, do what you can, but I would never receive any paperwork or any proof, except that I got the Texas University proof. of the stool sample, but that's over a month later. When you notice a diarrhea or a stool problem, it should be proceeded in a week or 2 weeks, send a stool sample immediately. But they continue to give her medication and so many medication, and as if it would work or do anything, but we did what we can, and he did what he could, but it was all still a more of a malpractice on his path on the way. But other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Valdez. Do any board members have any questions for Mr. Valdez?
No, this is Dr. James, and I have a couple questions. You know, certainly this was probably a hard case on everybody, you and the veterinarian and everybody trying to figure out what was going on. So we certainly appreciate your patience and answering our questions. During the course of this, was there anything that was recommended to you that you would have declined to do, whether it was you just didn't have access to it or finances or whatever? Is there any tests that were being recommended that you declined?
No, other than that, it would just give me a lot of different types of variety of medications to help my dog. Other than that, I don't think so.
Okay, and as the treatments were going on, were you being charged for them, or?
It appears that he decided to do everything free, since I was willing to pay anything, but he decided to do everything for free. And I thanked him for that, since he decided to do everything else for free. But other than that, I did pay for the spaying operation, but everything else is on that.
Okay, and was there any discussion with you after the spay? I know probably not that day, but any time after that regarding what happened during the spay?
No, it was absolute terrible lack of communication. And it was all, I don't know, he would just be in the room somewhere, probably hiding or anything. He would never show up or appear.
Like when you went to the hospital?
Yeah, like when I went to pick up my dog after her spaying operation, it was just, Estela would never appear. No, it's all lack of communication from him, not from me.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Okay, do any other board members have any questions? Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Valdez. So now is I'm going to have you just remain on the line still, but stay silent, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Escalada, I would like to give you some additional time to address any of the questions or remarks that were just made.
No, there's none that I have to. That's fine.
Okay. And are there any more questions from board members for Dr. Escalada? Okay. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So again, I just want to be clear, since you're both on the phone, we're just going to have you both stay on the line, remain silent, though, as we are discussing this case, okay? And Dr. James, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so this is certainly another one of those cases where we probably won't actually know what happened and what was the cause of this dog's just continual decline over the course of time. Certainly the colitis played into it. What was causing that and why it wasn't responding to medications is what we probably won't know. I think there was a lot of issue in this case, some of it being related to communication, and I'm sure there's a lot more that went on there, but from what I can see, it definitely looks like the doctor and the staff was trying to do everything they could, but maybe not communicating that, and maybe not communicating some things that should have happened that they didn't feel were gonna be able to be done, so they didn't offer them. And we run into that sometimes where we kind of assume that somebody's not gonna be able to do something, and it gets us into a little bit of a pickle. I think the big issues here, and we saw this, you know, as a recommendation from the investigative committee, is that the big three things are kind of the lack of medical records. So we certainly have medical record issues, and it's almost too hard to even go through and say this, 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 and this, because there were complete days where we didn't have any medical records. Like, it was just not, there was nothing. And then we also have concerns around the dog's care related to being in the clinic and whether being muzzled was appropriate, whether they tried everything other, you know, than the muzzle for the stool eating behavior, and some other medical specific concerns on not prescribing antibiotics when we had a white blood cell count that continued to rise, not repeating diagnostics when we knew things were getting worse, not offering referral, not looking into other options to diagnose what was going on. So, you know, we can go into each one of those individually if we want, or I can kind of just try to summarize them into big themes. But ultimately, I think what happened here is the vet felt they were doing everything they could within the means of the owner to treat this dog, and may not have been doing everything that was truly possible to treat this dog or to figure out what was going on with this dog. So those are kind of summary wise, those are my big ones. And I forgot the third one. The third one was the communication issues and the lack of being transparent about what happened during the spay, and the lack of being transparent about potentially the wounds on the back being thermal burns. And then it got way down the road before this owner was ever even told that there had been any kind of an issue during the spay. And while those might not have changed the outcome, and I don't necessarily know that what happened during the spay was the result of anything the clinic did, I don't necessarily, like, I know it was mentioned that it was malpractice. I don't know that. It could have been, as we looked at it in the other case, an anesthetic issue. But the lack of communication and lack of transparency is certainly something that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Anything you. Else before we go on? Any other concerns before I? No. All right. So I think I'm going to make a couple different motions. I'll go in line with, if you're following along on the report, the investigative committee report. But I'm going to do 32-22-32-11, gross negligence, for keeping the dog muzzled for days. I mean, that's a severe issue with regards to proper ventilation. It's also being able to stay hydrated, especially when you have severe diarrhea. And
so can I interrupt, please?
No, not at this time. Sorry.
So the muzzling is definitely a concern for me, and I understand why it was done, as far as we don't want this dog to keep reinfecting himself with something that he has, but there were other measures that could have been tried that weren't, that may have helped. So that's one of them. I think that not prescribing antibiotics after broad spectrum antibiotics. We were doing antibiotics specific to GI issue, but broad spectrum antibiotics when we had a white blood cell count that was continuing to increase. And then we didn't keep following up on those, so we had two blood samples that were done that were getting worse, and we didn't do any more after that, so we weren't repeating diagnostics to see where we were at. And I we have in with the gross negligence failure to disclose the dog's cardiac arrest during the spay procedure to the pet owner. So that's kind of the first one. The next one is 32-22-32 number 21, which is failure to maintain adequate veterinary records. And this is that specifically an example of where that happened was there were dates January 16th to January 20th where there was no medical record at all, and then even the medical records that were there were very short and didn't give a lot of context. And then the last section there, also kind of goes with medical records, but more detail on the medical records, 32, 22, 32, number 21, as it relates to our 311-502, which was, the first one was the signed authorization form. We did actually end up getting a signed authorization form. It wasn't filled out, but I think we at least have one there. So I'm gonna focus on H3, which was failure to document the heart rate and respiratory rate during surgery. L4, for omissions in the medical record during examination of the pet. L7, A, B, and D, for failure to document the medical record that the convenia was administered to the dog, and the concentration amount and route of multiple medications were missing. And that's the end of my findings.
Okay, so was that a motion for?
Yes. That was a motion to find those violations.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second for a number of violations in this case. Is there any further discussion amongst board members only?
Okay. I mean, I would add in here, I do think this veterinarian tried to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And I give him credit for keeping this dog as long as he did and doing everything he did and doing it free of charge. But that doesn't relieve the responsibility of offering to this owner things that were available. And I feel like that was really where the miss was.
Agreed. I know his heart is often in the right place, but yeah.
So I'm, as a total package, I'm gonna vote nay because of the muzzle.
Pardon?
The muzzle. I don't know what else he did. And I mean, he took it off part of the time. It's in the hospital, so you could potentially have it hooked up to an IV while you had it muzzled. I don't know if that happened or was important or not. But on that part, I think, I'm just trying to think of how, I mean, yeah, you could put something to flavor it, but then you still gotta eat it.
Well, no, the whole
once at least.
So, you so there's an over-the-counter product called Forbid. There's multiples, but they're the one that's I've used forever is called Forbid, and you put it in the dog's food. When the dog eats, it makes it makes the stool taste like shit, but that's probably not appropriate. But anyway,
it deters them from
eating the poop. Now, okay. I've seen dogs that will still eat the poop, but on many dogs, this works. And that wasn't tried. And putting a muzzle on a dog and leaving them in a kennel is a big concern. I mean, nothing happened to this dog, and maybe the muzzle was taken off enough, and maybe it, in the whole scheme of things, maybe that didn't play into what was going on, and I think there was good intent there, but that should not have been your first option for treatment of copropion.
Well, and I'm not, but, you know, and I've got to wonder, you know, if that, when it had the cardiac arrest during the spay, they brought it back or whatever, I mean, that coprophagia started after that. Was it brain damage? And you were just never going to fix this dog?
I don't think we know when that started.
Well, I know we don't. So at what point do you say, man, I can't, and for me it would not be 2 or 3 months. It would be at the end of the first or second week. It would be, you'd be talking about euthanasia.
Well, or referral, or an ultrasound, or a biopsy, or any other diagnostic. Those could have all been things that could have gotten us to the answer faster.
Yeah. And if they hesitated, I would mention euthanasia again.
Yes. And I think the owner mentioned euthanasia.
They did. Yes.
I mean, I think that was in there. And I give credit to the veterinarian for wanting to stick this out and try on the sake of the dog, right? It sounds like it was a very good dog, and I do appreciate people that try, no matter what, to any extent, to
especially
save the dog's life.
incurring the cost himself.
And doing this for 2 months. But I just feel like that, again, it doesn't excuse where we're at, and we still have to offer what's out there and reasonable. And maybe it would have been declined and we would have ended it in euthanasia, but we won't know.
Right.
I just didn't want to surprise you.
Okay.
Do you want me to take that out? I'm fine taking out the muzzle. We can leave in that they didn't take other more appropriate potential treatments for the coprophagia and just take the specific muzzle piece out?
To tell you the truth, I'd never even unless I went to my veterinary told me there was some kind of over-the-counter deal I could buy, I'd never know about that. No. I'd never heard of anything like that.
But that's where the veterinarian showed up. And he said maybe his technicians did try. I don't know.
And the other point, you know, in this Phoenix metro area, even Tucson, you're going to get reps crawling into your clinics to sell you stuff. Are they crawling around Nogales to tell him, hey, we got this new stuff?
That's not new.
Maybe
it's
not.
That's been out as long as I've been in practice.
Okay.
And that's
at least
been a
26
long
years.
Time.
Okay. I'm just going to another item.
It's over the counter, right? It's not prescription only?
Correct. No, it's, you can get it anywhere. You can get it on Amazon. I mean, I'm not saying that I expect that the owner to know about it. What I would say is I expect a veterinarian and a veterinarian's team to know that this is not an uncommon issue. This happens, and there are other ways to do it besides muzzling the dog.
Okay. I guess so. I'm trying to think of another instance where I...
Excuse me, can I say one thing?
Mr. Valdez, sorry, not at this time.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not going to argue this, it may be, I don't know. I just never...
Okay.
I guess I seem to have heard of it, but didn't know it was common that animals had that problem. Any animal.
Yeah, it's pretty common. But if the issues will be resolved by taking off the muzzle and just putting in specifically with regards to treat, you know, proper ways to treat coprophagia, then I'm fine with that too.
Okay. So are you amenable to
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay, so we're amending it slightly.
I would appreciate it.
Okay, amending it slightly. So again, we're ready to vote. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Do you want me to do a roll call or no?
Yeah. Go ahead and do a roll call.
Okay. A roll call?
Ms. Brager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohin?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. The board has voted to find violations in the case of 2372, Dr. Escalada. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Escalada, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law. And after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions in the meantime, you may contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. Thank you both for participating via phone and for being respectful. I know it's a little bit tricky when we're on the phone and you know, wanting to speak up, but I appreciate both of you. And this concludes the informal interview. So thank you for being on the phone. And we will now disconnect both of you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.